The previous lesson took the diffusion denoiser from UNet to a transformer, DIT, and walked what that shift bought: scaling laws, better global structure, architectural unification with the rest of the transformer stack. The pattern was clean: patchify the image, treat patches as tokens, run a transformer that predicts noise per patch. This lesson takes the same architectural family and asks what changes when the output is video rather than a single image. The short answer: a new dimension, time, a compute explosion, many more tokens per sample, a much harder dataset problem, video that is captioned well at scale is rare, and one central new technical challenge, keeping things coherent across frames. The DIT idea carries over. The engineering around it changes substantially. Video as a 3D tensor of patches. The naive approach to extending image generation to video is to generate each frame independently with an image DIT and stack them. This does not work. Nothing forces the frames to be coherent, so the output flickers and jitters. Objects pop in and out, identities shift, motion looks wrong. Temporal consistency is the new technical problem video generation has to solve. The modern approach treats video as a three-dimensional tensor, two spatial dimensions plus time, and patchifies it in three dimensions. Instead of an image's grid of 2D patches, a video becomes a set of small space-time cuboids, little blocks that span a few pixels horizontally, a few pixels vertically, and a few frames in time. Each spacetime cuboid becomes one token, and a single transformer attends to all of them at once. Sora introduced and popularized this framing under the term spacetime patches. That shift is what gives video DIT its central capability. Because attention is shared across all spacetime patches, the same token can attend to other tokens that are nearby in space, within the frame, nearby in time, a few frames over, or both, a patch in a future frame that overlaps the current scene. Temporal coherence is no longer a post hoc constraint. It is what the attention mechanism naturally produces, since every patch sees every other patch when deciding what to predict. The compute explosion. The cost of the spacetime patch approach is severe. A 5-second video at 30 frames per second is 150 frames. If each frame is even a modest 256 spatial patches, that is roughly 38,400 tokens before you do anything else. Attention is quadratic in token count, so the cost of a full attention pass over a 5-second clip is wildly larger than over a single image. Two compression strategies make this tractable, and any production video model relies on both. Latent compression in space. As with image latent diffusion, you operate in a compressed latent space rather than pixel space, so each patch already represents a larger pixel region. This reduces the number of spatial tokens per frame by an order of magnitude or more. Latent compression in time. A learned video tokenizer compresses several adjacent frames into one temporal patch, so the model sees fewer temporal slices than the original frame rate. Sora's spacetime patches do exactly this. Each token represents a small spacetime cuboid in latent space, not a single pixel and single frame. After both compressions, the token count for a few second clip falls into the thousands rather than the millions, and attention becomes possible. The compression quality trade-off is, again, that the video tokenizer is the floor and ceiling of the model's per frame and motion quality. The same tokenizer as bottleneck pattern that recurs across native multimodal, L3, and image generation, L5. The data problem. Video introduces a dataset problem the image side does not face nearly as acutely. Well-captioned video at scale is rare. Most video on the internet has terrible or no captions. Captions tend to describe broad content rather than what is happening across time. And the cost of high-quality video labeling is enormous. Production quality models lean heavily on automatic captioning and recaptioning pipelines. feed unlabeled video through a captioner that produces rich temporal descriptions, then train on those. The quality of the captioner cascades directly into the quality of the model. Public discussions of Sora's training and the MovieGen reports both highlight this. It is not a minor implementation detail. What the field has shipped on video DT. Several production systems implement variants of this architecture, named positive examples per the vendor naming policy. Sora, OpenAI, introduced and popularized the space-time patches framing in 2024 with 1-minute coherent generations at notable quality. Veo, Google, is Google's video generation family with similar architectural approach. MovieGen, Meta, is Andrew Brown's team's work and the system this lesson's source lecture covers in technical depth. Runway Gen 3 and other systems extend the same family in different practical directions. These systems differ in tokenizer choices, conditioning approaches, post-training, and inference techniques. Where their architectures are public, Sora, MovieGen, they share the DIT family backbone with space-time patches. The closed ones, Veo, Runway, are not documented in this detail, but are widely understood to use related space-time designs. Calling something transformer-based video generation in 2025 generally means some descendant of this design. What still trips video generation up? Even modern video generation has predictable failure modes worth knowing. Physics. Objects intersect each other strangely. Gravity behaves inconsistently. Deformations of flexible objects, cloth, water, sometimes follow no real-world rule. Pre-training priors help. They do not eliminate the issue. Long horizon coherence. A character introduced in second one may have slightly different features in second 12. Identity drift over long horizons is unresolved. Text inside generated video. Reading and reproducing text within a generated scene remains hard. The same issue image generation has, but compounded across frames. Compute. Even with compression, generating 30 seconds of high-resolution video is expensive. Longer durations still face hard compute walls. These are research frontiers, and the architecture of the day's quality jumps reflect chipping away at each. Where this lesson stops, and what is a separate conversation entirely. The same scope line discipline from the image generation lesson applies here. The image lesson named 5 categories that sit outside the architecture. Video carries all 5 forward and adds 2 more that video specifically surfaces for 7 in total. Each named category sits in its own forum with its own stakeholders and is evaluated by different methods than the architecture is. Naming them keeps the technical content focused and the deferral honest. Carried forward from the image lesson, all 5 apply to video too. Use case policy, when synthetic video is appropriate versus not. Product and platform policy decision. Stakeholders include product teams, community guidelines authors, and platform-level moderation. Provenance and watermarking, general. Labeling synthetic media as synthetic. The broad question of whether and how generated media should be marked, addressed by standards bodies and platform policy, C2PA, SynthID, not by the generation architecture. Sector-specific policies, journalism, political content, legal evidence. Each sector has its own institutions and standards, and video raises these stakes higher than images, because video has historically been treated as more authoritative evidence than a still photo. Training data licensing, scraped video data, often from copyrighted film and television, active legal and policy area with ongoing litigation. Likeness and consent. A real person's appearance used without permission. The general identity rights question that applies to any synthetic media of a real individual. It lives in law and platform policy, not in the model. 2 additional categories video raises beyond images. Real person reanimation. Video-specific deepfakes. Beyond the general likeness and consent question above, video generation can produce motion, action, and, with audio, speech attributed to a real person, attaching realistic behavior to the appearance. The technical capability sits underneath. The consent, identity rights, legal evidence, and platform policy questions sit in their own institutional conversations. Video provenance specifically, temporal coherence requirements. The general provenance conversation above, C2PA, SynthID, extends to video but adds technical requirements, dynamic watermark signals that survive frame interpolation, temporal coherence checks for tampering, video-specific subsets of C2PA. Technically distinct enough from image watermarking to be its own sub-area, and the same evaluation methods boundary applies. This lesson's instruments are training loss, FAL, tumwa BD, freshe video distance, and successors, motion quality metrics, and human preference studies. Those are the technical evaluation frame. They are not the same instruments policy conversations use, and that difference is what makes the scope line operational rather than rhetorical. Why this matters when you use AI. When you see synthetic video that looks plausible, this is the architecture under it. The capability ArcVD, video generation, is on parallels, the one image generation walked from 2022 to 2024. Rapid quality jumps as the underlying architecture, data sets, and compute matured. The architecture side story is the one this lesson covers. The social and policy story that comes alongside it is real and substantial, and it is the territory the explicit out-of-scope categories above defer to other conversations. Common pitfalls. Video generation is just image generation across frames. No. Independent frame generation produces incoherent flicker. Temporal consistency is the new central problem. Space-time patches and shared attention are what make it tractable. Compute scales linearly with video length. No, attention is quadratic in token count. Without spatial and temporal latent compression, it would be economically impossible. The video tokenizer is the floor and ceiling of the system's quality. Any prompt will produce a clean video. Current models have specific limits: physics, long horizon coherence, in-frame text, durations beyond 10 or so seconds. Knowing the limits avoids the disappointment of expecting them not to apply. A bigger model alone fixes it. Scaling helps, but does not solve any of the named failure modes by itself. Tokenizer quality, dataset quality, and captioning pipeline quality each set their own ceilings. What you should remember: video detail extends the image DIT idea to three dimensions, space-time patches. Each token is a small cuboid spanning a few pixels in width, height, and time. And one transformer attends across all of them. Temporal consistency is the new central problem, and the space-time patches approach is what makes attention naturally handle it. Latent compression in both space and time is required to keep the token count tractable. The video tokenizer caps system quality. Captioned video data is the binding constraint on training quality. Automatic recaptioning pipelines are how production systems get there. This lesson is architecture, technique, and evaluation. The use case, provenance, sector policy, training, data licensing, likeness, real person reanimation, and video provenance conversations are real, separate, and evaluated elsewhere. That closes phase three on generative multimodal models. Across L5 and L6, we covered how transformer architectures took over from UNet for image generation, then extended cleanly into video with space-time patches. Phase four turns to advanced multimodal directions. The first lesson covers JEPA and world modeling, which take a fundamentally different objective than the generative pre-training we have leaned on throughout phases two and three.